Musings of the Mick, talking about board games and related stuff. Greetings, listeners. I am Hoppy. You are here. And where is here? Why, it's our 10th episode. I hope you all had a wonderful St. Patrick's Day. I know we did. And now we're going to turn our attention to Easter in just 2 short weeks. With these holidays so close together, it made me think of a topic I wanted to cover. And that is games that we play or that get played seasonally, whether they are themed as such or loosely related or some realm in that way. And I will cover some of ours, you know, after the usual reviews and crowdfunding news. So let's hop to it. This episode, I have 2 games for you. One that's a pretty old game and one that is brand spanking new. So let's start with the old one. This one is called Lost Woods. It comes to us from Jasper Poppy Games. You may not have heard of them because I think they only have this one game. I'm not 100% sure. I got this for Christmas roughly 7 years ago. It's been sitting on the shelf since then. So this is probably one of our oldest games that hasn't been played. This is an exploration game where you're going to be moving your little camp explorer person to different tiles. And depending on if it's north, south, east, or west, you grab one of those tiles, put it out, move on there, draw tokens from a bag, and then do what those tokens say. Some are weapons, some are monsters you fight. Sometimes a tile you'll find has a spell on it. All of that fun, fancy stuff. The cool thing about this game is that it's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek weapons and monsters. My one starting weapon was an adequately sharp kitchen knife. You have like two knives taped together, foam noodles. So it is all just kind of like that goofy kind of exploration stuff. The basic way you have to win is you need to find your way out and then battling a guardian at the end of that way. Each direction has a guardian tile. Once you find that, you fight the guardian, which is 3 consecutive battles. And as long as the exit is clear, you then exit. This uses the normal 7 die set minus the D10, which I always like because you can roll D20, 12s, 8s, 6s, all the way down to 4. And I always just like having that variety as opposed to just the D6. I did find it enjoyable, but it can get repetitive and kind of have a runaway leader. That was Bri in this instance. She kept drawing all the monsters and kept defeating them, which gets her gold. It doesn't matter who finds their way out. Whoever has the most gold at the end wins. So that was kind of an issue as I was starting to look at hers and doing the math. It's like, well, even if I defeat the guardian, then I can't win. So I got to kind of defeat 2 guardians. So I had the 1 tile set up to where she couldn't escape, but she came in and beat up the guardian anyways. So yeah, you can kind of have that issue of seeing that runaway leader. The other game I'm going to cover is the brand spanking new game. It is called Let's Go to Japan from Alderac AEG. In this game, you're going to be drafting cards to build up the best itinerary over a 6-day vacation in Japan. This game was actually a passion project of the creator where he had originally planned to go to Japan, and then the pandemic hit and he wasn't able to, so he took all this knowledge and made this game where you're just laying all the stuff out, put interesting facts on all the cards so you know where you're going and why you're doing it and what its significance is. So that's just a really cool touch in this game. We got the deluxe edition. So speaking of really nice touches, this touches nicely. There's big, thick, chunky wood bits that you're using. We got the ceramic bowls to put all the little tokens in the middle. Just everything feels top end and fantastic. It came wrapped in this nice silk cloth. It was just superb. So one issue I did have with the game, though, is you can have some thematic disconnects to optimize your score because you're trying to match these icons to the day. So doing the same thing 2 times in 1 day would be the optimal strategy because then you're getting more of those symbols. In my instance, in 1 day, I stayed at a capsule hotel twice because the symbols just lined up. But that's really more kind of how you play it. If you want to play it more thematically, you easily can and just not put those cards there. You do also need to manage your trips to different cities because every time you change city, you need to have a train. Well, if you haven't gotten the luxury trains and you need more, you need to take them from the central supply, which does give you negative points. So just trying to make sure you manage where you're going and when. Overall, it is definitely a fun game. You just need to kind of plan ahead and make sure you're placing those cards correctly so you can score them in your highlights of the day score optimally because you need to have certain symbols or certain criteria by the time you get to those. So just line everything up. But so Let's Go to Japan from Alderac is definitely a keeper and one that we are going to get back to as soon as possible. But what I'm going to do right now, as soon as possible, is get us over to our crowdfunding section. All right, let's look at some crowdfunding campaigns. Crowdfunding is still going hot and heavy, as you could tell with the last episode being all about crowdfunding. And I do want to start off this crowdfunding by giving a shout out to two of those campaigns that are still going on. So make sure you head over and check them out. Logic and Lore by Weird Giraffe Games. We did a video for this. It is a really nice two-player deduction game. And Cascadia, Roll and Write. We love Cascadia, and just getting those two Roll and Write games is going to be fantastic. But let's get with the three campaigns I'm going to cover in this episode. We're starting with Inventors of the South Tigris. This is on Kickstarter, coming from us from Garfield Games. This is the last game in the South Trilogy. All the games in the South Trilogy have all been about manipulating and placing dice and using dice, and that's fine by me because I love dice. It does use a dummy player in a two-player game, though. We're not usually a fan of that mechanism, so we'll have to kind of see how that ends up playing out when we get the game, because, of course, we're backing it because we are completionists. Also, looking at the rulebook, it seems like there's a lot of steps to maneuver stuff around, but not as much weird manipulation and color changing as Scholars. In Scholars, you need a different colored dice, so you'd be combining dice and then using meeples and doing all this to try and manipulate the colors. That's not present in this one. This one seems like it's more so moving your dice in your study or on this one board that will allow you to change the dice depending on the further up it goes in this landscape area. Then using all these dice and putting them on camels to invent contraptions and then test those contraptions and moving them up and down the Tigris and just going back and forth like all that. It does seem like it is more on the heavy end of his games, and that has been the norm for the South Tigris saga. While Wayfarers wasn't too bad, Scholars definitely kicked it way up, and this does seem like there are a lot more gears and levers and whatnot being pulled. So again, Inventors of the South Tigris. We're going to move over to GameFound for this next one called Wroth, W-R-O-T-H. This is coming to us from Chip Theory Games. If you're not aware, they're known for their lavish, crazy productions. They have poker chips and neoprene mats and all of these just top-notch metal bits, all craziness. This one, they are going to still have that type of craziness, but they're going for a lower price point, so not as elaborate, but you're still going to have neoprene mats for play stuff. You're going to have nice markers. You're going to have cards. Like, it's still going to be a good production. They're just not throwing the whole kitchen sink in there as some of their other games. So they can make it more affordable and get their games in the hands of more players. In this game, you are going to be using dice for actions. Look, more dice. So with these dice, you're going to roll the dice, and then everyone drafts the dice. Those dice have actions on them, so everyone's going to carry out the actions. You're going to check for area control, assign points and bonuses, rinse and repeat until there is a winner. Seems very straightforward and basic. As I said, roll dice, actions, area control. You can take out your opponents, stuff like that. The other cool thing is each person is going to be playing a faction, and each faction does have asymmetric powers, which is always a fun thing and something that they always strive to do are these asymmetric factions. So it changes depending on who you want to play as and have different strategies and ways to win. I personally am on the fence about the artwork they chose for this. It is bright and colorful, but they're doing that thing where they draw the lines or the outline or just the line art of the person or items and then throw color all over it. So almost like it's just drawn on a wall and then painted on. The line drawings do look cool. I don't know if I really like that art style personally, but other people are going to like it. The third and final game, we are going to head back over to Kickstarter. I kind of mentioned this at Inventors in the last episode. We are looking at Etherstone. From Thundergriff Games. This is a game where you're going to be drafting cards for your starting hand, or you can have a preset one, and you're going to have 7 cards in your hand, and the end game triggers when you've played all of your cards. Again, dice are involved. Dice are going to be getting rolled. You're going to be selecting dice to get resources, and you're going to use those resources to play the cards or trigger abilities on cards, and then you're going to be also fighting things in the middle to get points at the end of the game. The cards have lots of different combos and interesting abilities. They can play off of each other, play off the dice you grab, or various other things. They have this crazy, interesting backstory of all these different factions and clans and worlds, so much so that they have a novel available that you can add on to your purchase, or there is a level that has the novel in it. and each different just kind of each faction has a different type of focus that can be used together, or maybe you can even play as one faction. We haven't really delved too much into the specifics of that. All we know is the artwork looks phenomenal, the world building looks phenomenal, Thundergriff Games does cool games, and dice comboing, drafting cards at times, getting the whole tableau getting built, that all stuff that we enjoy. So again, Etherstone on Kickstarter from Thundergriff Games. We are going to skip the commercial this episode in honor of being our 10th, and the fact I was too lazy to write one. Instead, we are going to move straight into our topic of those seasonal games. I'll see you then. The holidays. So depending on what holiday it is, it could be stressful, it could be enjoyable, it could be filling, it could be a mixture of all of those. Also, around here, the holidays mean let's look at games that might fit this holiday and use that as an excuse to play them. I mean, everyone could always use an excuse to play a game, correct? So why not tie it into something seasonal? So I'm going to cover a few of the games that we do. There are others out there, and I'm sure there are some that you all play at seasonal times. If there are, go ahead, head over to our socials. Let me know what games you enjoy for what holidays, and I think we'll take a look at them. So first up, with the holiday that was just passing of St. Patrick's Day, let's cover a couple of games that we're going to be playing around that time. The first one is Corrigans from Matago. This is one that we've been playing every year for 6-7 years now, I think. It's been quite a while. If you don't know what Corrigans is a game where you have two leprechauns on the board, your Corrigans, and you'll be drawing a disc out of a bag, which are the rainbow colors, and then once you basically get 7 of one of the colors, that triggers the end of the game. But what you do on your turn is you are going to move one of your Corrigans. You're going to be using tokens that you've gotten to move to different areas. You can either fly anywhere with the bird, moles go from one spot to another where they got the little mole icon, frogs can carry you down the river, then there's a rabbit that can go, I believe, through hedges, and a squirrel that can go under gates, if I remember correctly. When you enter a new area, they have these little tokens. You're going to choose one. You're going to look at it. It's either going to be gold coins or another animal that you can use on a future turn. Gold coins are how you win at the end of the game. So you're going to be going around the board, taking turns, going around, grabbing these tokens. If you grab the last token, there's these little plastic rock-looking things called Mahirs, I believe it is. And those will have something on the bottom. It might be gold coins. It might be another special power. It might be a hindrance that you can put on someone, so forth and so on. So as I said, you're going to be going around collecting the gold until the pot of gold arrives, which is what happens when that last disc is put out. It'll then go into one of the fields. At that point, in going around the table, everyone will have one last turn to try and get both of their Corrigans to where the pot of gold is. If you get one, you get so many points. If you get both of them, you get even more points. You do so by using all the modes of travel that you've collected throughout the game. You can only use a mode of travel once, so if you use a bird for one Corrigan, you can't use that bird again. But you use all of these animals trying to get there. Whoever has the most gold at the end wins. If you're wondering how it plays, we did do a playthrough on the channel last year with the youth, for they are the ones that we always play it with. We really enjoy this one. It's quick paced. It's fun to try and puzzle out that last move of trying to get both of your people there. And it just has the bright colors and cool pieces. Like each leprechaun is different, even both of them in your color. And then all of them are different. So I think there's 6 colors, so all 12 Corrigans are different. The plastic rock pieces are really cool. So it's a really cool production. The insert holds everything nice. So it is definitely a family favorite that I ended up getting, I think, on clearance 1 year when Asmodee was clearancing them out. Another St. Patrick's Day one just got added to that list this year, and that is the new game from Grand Gamers Guild called Tirnanog. Or Tirnanog, if you don't want to have the accent. This game is The Other World is Open for Storytellers to Traverse. So you're going to be putting your storytellers between two cards. Everyone goes around, puts out their 3 storytellers, then in reverse turn order, you're going to be grabbing cards, putting them in a tableau in front of you, trying to score for all the different rows. There's a top, a middle, and a bottom, and each one has a different scoring mechanism. You have five different scoring mechanisms for each one, so each game can be different, as you have basically 15 different scoring options. What we really like about this one is it's a fun, thinky puzzle of trying to put your workers on the right spot to be able to get the right cards, put them in the right spaces. Some of the cards do have special powers that will let you move them. Or maybe they're going to, when you put it down, change the color of the cards around them. So you're trying to wait for the optimal time of that. However, you start with a hand of five, but every round you discard a card. So you can't necessarily keep multiple cards all the way till the end, because going into that last round, you're only going to have one card left. So it's kind of that push and pull of when do I go ahead and use this and when can I do that? I did just post a playthrough on St. Patrick's Day of me playing this solo, so you can take a gander and see how that plays. Let's move on to the next one according to the calendar, and that is Easter. Around Easter, we always tend to bring out Bunny Kingdom, a game from Yellow. This was designed by Richard Garfield, he of Magic the Gathering fame, or if I talked about it recently on the podcast, Carnival of Monsters, which is a big hit for the family, and it kind of shares mechanisms with Bunny Kingdom. You are going to be passing hands of cards around the table, drafting them. Those are going to have either locations on the map to where you're going to put a bunny. It's going to have locations for you to put these castles, or maybe end of game scoring cards that have all these different options. You're going to be trying to get these big fiefdoms, as they're called, and you're going to be doing that by trying to get so many rabbits and then different types of crops that they do. So it's this whole little math table of based on how many crops you have times how many bunnies equals how many points you get. So the points just kind of go up exponentially. I will say that is one of the things that kind of slows us down, though, trying to make sure we score each one. How much does each score? Multiplying it right. So it is kind of math driven there. And those end of game scoring cards can definitely swing the way in one way or the other. This is one that I think we started playing 4 years ago. No. Five at this point. It's definitely been a while. But yeah, Bunny Kingdom from Yellow. So going around the calendar even more, we get to Halloween. Again, this is one that just got added for us, and this is Dreadful Meadows from Arcus Games. In this one, you're going to be building up a candy patch to be the best confectioner in the lands. You put out candy patches, you're going to put your workers there, it's going to produce candy around it. You then spend that candy out of the fulfill concoction cards, or use them for the dollar amount to buy more patches to put in your garden, or use those to buy a harvester, which you'll put on a tile, and then when you place a worker next to that harvester, the harvester will then harvest the fields next to it. This has an interesting dynamic of where am I going to put those patches, when to bring my workers back, because when I bring them back, they can do special powers, but I want to make sure I get the candy out there first. Maybe this one candy is good, so I'm going to put it out, spend the candy, bring the worker back, put it out. Or making sure where to put those harvesters so you put one person down and just produce everywhere is always a fantastic option, which is what I usually try to do. So that is one that will be getting broken out around Halloween time. In fact, our buddy Pippi did do a playthrough of Dreadful Meadows right around this past Halloween. So, Dreadful Meadows. And finally, yet another new one that got added to our rotation only because we didn't play the previous version, and that is Santa's Workshop. This comes to us from Elf Creek Games. This is a new deluxe second edition of this game. In this one, you're going to be placing your elf workers out to gather supplies and make toys for all the good girls and boys. The deluxe edition for this one makes it so the tiles for each material look and feel different. The metal tokens are shiny and smooth. The wood has a grain texture into it. The fabric is kind of this textured, fabric-y, I don't know how to explain it, fabric-y feeling, almost like velvety, felty type of thing. This has a fun worker placement mechanic with other options than just grabbing goods. You might want to go and feed the reindeers, and those will give you options. Get ornaments to help get some of those goods as well. They come with a sleigh where you can put the done toys, which is a nice touch. There's also two options. There's a very basic side, which is literally just put out workers, fulfill stuff. And there's another side where you can upgrade workers, get better workers, move stuff around that is much more gamery to it. So, again, Santa's Workshop from Elf Creek Games. And I can't get through any list without mentioning Flux from Looney Labs. This is one that has so many different options that either they're going to be spot on or loosely adjacent to the holidays, but there are so many themed Flux out there, you can definitely choose one. Like for St. Patrick's Day, as we mentioned, There's Drinking Flux. That is just a really cool one. Take it to the bar, take it to your drinking party, whatever. Or you don't even need to drink alcohol. You can just drink pop, water, beverage of your choice, whatever you want. But they have waterproof cards. They have it where you have certain words, so you have to drink, make someone drink. And it's just, it's a fun, good old time with the normal chaos that Flux does have in it. They also have a Holiday Flux. Again, this has most of the holidays in it. I would say, though, however, it does tend more towards the winter holidays of like Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, stuff like that. So we do typically play that more around Christmas time, typically. Halloween, you have Zombie Flux, you have Monster Flux, even Alien Flux is kind of horror related. Springtime's around the corner, they got Nature Flux, all about nature with the butterflies and trees and recycling. And then after springtime comes summer, you're going to be taking those road trips. Well, you have Flux Across America, where it's kind of a road trip. It has all the different locations you can stop on the road and see. So that's always a good, fun one to bring out for your summer road trips. They even have Around the World, if world travel is more your thing. So again, Flux, hit them up. You will find a theme that will fit you and or a holiday of your choosing. I can almost guarantee. So that is, again, what seasonal games we like to play in the seasons that we play them. Go ahead and let us know, again, at any of our socials if you play these or other ones that you choose instead. Let's see what's coming up on the channel in the next couple of weeks, though. So what is coming up? What's in the boxes? Yep. Although if you've noticed, we've changed the names of those to What Does It All Do? Mobile plays? Kind of. Solo plays? Indeed. So for those solo plays, we'll be playing some of our recent What Does It All Do's with Take a Seat and the one I talked about in this very episode, Let's Go to Japan. We'll also start the next chapter in our My City Roll and Build campaign. There's going to be a review of a game that we will be playing seasonally going forward. Again, I talked about it in this very here episode, and that is Titternanog! That's right, I'm going to review it now. As far as the Lego builds, I once again turn the building over to Bri, as she does a seasonal build with the Easter Bunny display Lego set. Lots of bags, small model, see how it turns out. The mobile plays, I will be wrapping up all of the current maps or factions that they currently have in Imperial Settlers Roll'n'Write the Mobile Edition. And then we're going to be heading back to the computer to continue the story mode of Quilts and Cats of Calico. We did just start that this past Friday, so you're not too far behind. Watch episode 1 so you're ready for episode 2. We will have another crowdfunding preview coming up as soon as tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Monday. If not, guess what? It's probably up already. Also, we have the return of another episode of Pippi McDyston. Where's he headed to this time? You'll find out soon. But that is about it for all of that YouTube stuff. So now, let's end these ramblings with the outro info as follows. Feel free to drop by the YouTube channel or any of our socials and let us know what you like or don't like, but please do that nicely. Those socials are Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, at Merry Married Meeples. On Twitter X, we are at Merry Married. We also part of Blue Sky now, although we don't visit there very often, for the skies here have been cloudy and gray. Also, be sure to head over and check out our Patreon. Link is in the description. Any support through there that you care to give us is very much appreciated and will keep me doing what I've been doing, which is rambling to you. In 2 weeks, I will grace your airwaves with a topic I will probably come up with last minute. If you have any suggestions, feel free to head over to those socials and let me know. So until then, enjoy your days.